What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Hype man.
Wow.
I was gonna say, Cobb, you can appreciate that. Just like show up like, I'm here, boys.
Yeah. Just come in white hot.
You sure can.
I did that for a bachelor party in Miami in like an American flag, like silk robe. And dude, it killed. It was like a, you know, like one of those like American wrestler robes, like WWF style. Huge. Great entrance.
All right. We're ready to rock?
Yep.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha. The podcast. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the podcast, the home episodes. We're the host of this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land. It helps. All right, back there. He's back in his left-hand corner, up top. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What's up, boys? I just want to say that your boy is out here on offense. I just switched from defense to offense. Vaccines have been administered. Mask bans are being lifted. Let's go.
All right, down there, getting the studio still pretty set up, and the wheels of steel. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hi, Ted. Great to see you.
Yeah, like the mask thing's ending everywhere.
It's over, baby. It's over.
Boom.
It is.
We made it. We did it, boys.
All right. Speaking of masks, before we get to anything, Mr. Cobb, have you reviewed the tapes?
Dude, oh my God, I totally forgot. Jesus. I was just about to say, too, that I was all pumped when, like, my short confession is when I saw the CDC had lifted the mask mandate, I literally started crying reading the article because I was watching a documentary on the Challenger explosion and thinking about, like, big American moments, like, things that, like, you know, defined an era. Things like Kennedy getting assassinated, the Challenger explosion, 9/11. And I was like, dude, this is going to be, you know, the front page of the paper on Sunday, like, the iconic, like, mask ban has been lifted. You know, it's over. We made it. And it's crazy thinking about, you know, how many people we lost. I mean, 500,000 is, what, a couple of 747s a day. But that being said, no, I didn't get a chance to review the tape, which is funny because I had nothing but time this week and I just totally blanked.
Like, I thought about texting you, then I was like, nope, he was all about it. I'll just wait.
You should have. You should have, dude. That's literally classic Aaron Cobb. I'm like, oh, I'm taking this dude down. And I'm like, yeah, I stopped caring like 10 seconds after we stopped recording. Sorry, everyone. No, what's that called? No roast today. No public skewering.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't going to be one anyhow, but
at least not of you, Ted.
Yeah. I mean, I guess lifting of the mask mandate is a big deal, but there's also like not everybody's on board yet. There's like some places you still got to wear it in and then work and this and that. So it's like, it's kind of over, but is it? And then like, I don't know, like when I walk to work, I don't wear it anymore, but I just keep the gaiter around my neck in case somebody goes, you need a mask here. Like, all right.
Ed, just admit you don't want it to be over, man. I think meltdown is happening. Target lifted the ban today. Starbucks is on board. Let's go.
Meltdown confirmed they canceled it yesterday.
God dang it. That actually surprises me. Like, right as everything opens back up, that does surprise me that they chose this moment to cancel. I guess it takes a long time to get all that stuff together. It's May.
Yeah, that's what they said on the post, was like, that's a lot of logistics to get done right now. And yeah, so that was just really, yeah. The way that, as bummed out as I am, like the way that you were so confident about that, right when we were like, oh, we both saw that post yesterday, kind of made me a little bit happy at the same time you were talking about Meltdown not being on.
Dude, here's the thing. Every match needs a heel, okay? People need someone to hate. And if you're that's right. Me, hey, I served my purpose.
Thank you for stepping up to the plate.
It's just, I mean, like, Matt and I could see it in your eyes, just the confidence, like, Meltdown's happening, this is happening. I'm like, oh.
Ted and I are looking at each other like, you want to tell him?
No.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm bummed out it's happening too, but again, I am not, I was not shocked at all. Because, I mean, besides the fact you got to plan all that stuff, and then, you know, you still got to assume the risk. Like, sporting events are just easier. There's vaccinated sections, unvaccinated sections. Like, you know, like, it's a festival. Like, everybody mixes in with each other.
And frankly, Meltdown people are not necessarily vaccine people.
Well, you know, I'm not going to speak on that. Everybody we go to Meltdown with, I'm pretty sure, is vaxxed.
Yeah, you might be right.
Well, it is a wider demographic than sometimes we like. A lot of people are game to go melt, but you know, outside of there might view things differently than we'd conventionally think about the hippies. It's an interesting crowd, very diverse, and yeah, it's one of the things I love about it. Can't wait till next year.
Yeah, I hear that. I was pretty excited to see Big Wild and Grizz. That's huge for me. Back to back, two of my top dogs.
Yeah, I guess for me, like, I don't know. I was talking about it this weekend. Like, I just wasn't going to be like, I'm just not shocked they canceled it. I mean, that's a big undertaking. And still to this, like, I know Fish is playing out of the Gorge like Labor Day weekend, but that's like the earliest like music thing I've seen.
Mm.
Right. Cause like Seafair got canceled. What else? Like Bumper's shooting had already canceled. So I was like, yeah, it didn't shock me. Like I hadn't even looked on who was supposed to be playing. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's the other question I have for you guys, talking about stuff, everything kind of opening up. Like, do you think it's going to be odd to interact with people again every day?
What do you think, Matt?
Man, so I'm down here in Palm Springs, and I've been pretty social since it's felt good. It's felt very returning to normal, but also, you know, not it's not like full on crazy or anything, but like, yeah, people are out, people are talking. I would say this whole time people were not a lot of people wearing masks outdoors down here. The other times I was down here, but there's definitely less masks, and been enjoying the hell out of talking to people. Like it's a little bit weird because I'm so excited. I'm making it weird with my enthusiasm and my ability to verbally diarrhea all over a conversation.
I am kind of excited to work out without a mask on again.
Yeah, seriously. I'll say, I think, I think Seattle has been a little more strict than other places. During the pandemic, I've been in Utah, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Texas. And Seattle is by far the strictest And most adherent, but also one of the most vaccinated and obviously the most educated population in the country. So it makes sense. But yeah, I would say I was out this weekend, a lot of fun. Socializing feels incredible. I was at some sort of a backyard party thing at a bar. And honestly, it feels so good to be around people, man. You forget just like how nice that is. And, you know, with music bumping and whatever, it's, you know, you really can't replace the human element. And it makes you appreciate our interconnectedness and our need for each other, I think. I don't know, Ted, you worried about getting back out there?
I mean, I wouldn't say worried. I just think people aren't really thinking about like, and you're right. Like I've been out a few places and, you know, trust me, I'm a very social person, but also like, just like, right, we're going to get back to normal, like traffic and like rude people. And like, I'm just like, everybody says, can't wait to get back out there and do this and that. I'm like, well, don't forget, you didn't like everybody before this happened.
Right. Yeah, seriously. The traffic is going to be crazy. Like Seattle's actually changed a lot of their streets. People probably don't care, but they've narrowed a lot of their streets to single lanes and bus lanes and stuff. And like, it's going to be wild for a couple of years, but it's ultimately a good grand plan. Decent grand plan.
Yeah. I just notice it like when I'm walking to work and stuff. And then, I went up north last week and I'm just like, oh man, like there's actually some traffic. Like, it's just those little things I think people forget about.
There was traffic going up north to Sandwood?
I mean, not traffic, but just a lot more than there's been in months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that wasn't... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, even 2 months ago, there wasn't that many people on the highway. But like where our office... Or you guys know, we podcast it. Like where the offices and stuff, like you could see the highway. And I'm just like noticing it. Like that's more traffic. And then... Mainly just like when you go south, like I see people being like, can't believe this. And I'm like, what can't you believe? Like, not like people moved.
Yeah, you and everyone else on the road can't believe it.
This is crazy, man.
So I guess that's why I asked the question. Like, everybody's like, oh, I can't wait. And it's like, all right, we'll see. We'll see.
But Ted, dude, I do have to say, you know, we were talking about this down here, but, you know, admiring from afar, you're an extrovert, very social person, and you've done a lot of the quarantine, like, largely alone. I think you would do great in prison. Like, I always look at myself and I'm like, there's no way I could do time. And it's like, dude, Ted just sat there and he just did the time, man. You know, he just put in the work, found out what was really going on. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Right. I am a very social person, but yeah, I mean, yeah, there was definitely times. I will say last year by like December, I remember talking to my brother and I'm just f-ing tired of being like the upbeat person to everybody.
Yeah.
I was like, I, you know what I mean? Like I like the people count on me for stuff, but like, I can't help you through this one. Like I'm, you know what I mean? Like I'm pretty bummed out too.
Yeah. No man is an island.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It is kind of funny also, like I don't like, the one nice thing was like I like the Zoom stuff because it was like, man, I saw some of my cousins more probably than I usually see in a normal year.
Yeah, seriously. Also, I was thinking, you know, your brother probably had a crazy year. What with his wait, have you said his job on here? Can we say that?
Yeah.
Okay, principal. With being a principal, like that's got to be a wild job during the pandemic. So I imagine that was probably pretty stressful for him. Shout out Chris, walking his dog right now.
You know he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just weird. Like, I don't know, your whole job is teaching people and running a school, and they just weren't there for that long and stuff. Like, I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of this. It was a very strange long year. But with that said, like I was talking to Mike today, and I'm like, damn, next weekend's Memorial Day. Like, summer's here.
Mm-hmm. We're back, which I'll actually be in town next weekend. Not this coming weekend, but the following. I don't know when that is.
Oh, good.
Wait, which weekend's Memorial Day? The 22nd or the 29th?
The 29th.
Nice. Right on time.
Well, yeah, it's weird for like sporting events now up here. Like they have like, if you're vaccinated, you can sit in a section without your mask on. But if you're not, you got to sit in a different section.
That's wild. And do you have to like show your card or how do you prove it?
I think so. I'm not sure. Like, I think there's like a vaccination check-in and you get like a wristband, like I'm over here in the free section, just partying.
I like it. Just publicly, slowly shaming people into getting their vaccines. Like, look at those guys drinking beers with no masks, smiling, having a good time. You should hire hot chicks to go hang in that section.
Just like high-fiving, living life.
Giving high fives to all the guys.
Yeah, I will say this. Last weekend, right, really good time. Played, man, when's the last time you guys actually played badminton?
Great game. I always say this, great game, huge in Asia. It's been a while for me, probably about 4 years.
Yeah, I kind of forgot. Like, for some reason, I just assume every shot arches up real high and I'll just jog over and tap it. And then I got fired up and was like trying to like hit it real hard. It's like, that's not badminton. You gotta be graceful.
The drop shot, man. Dude, another great game. Actually, Matt's down in Palm Springs. Pickleball, similar concept. Matt, dude, the pickleball courts near your place are hot. In the mornings,
Scotland.
I don't know if you go out there, but there's a park by the guy who like started. He was the first one to ever build a subdivision. There's this park and there's like 40 old people out there playing every morning. Dude, it's live. Very fun.
Oh, and it's like
live.
Okay.
You should go. Seriously.
Yeah. Text me the address or the name of it and I'll look into that. That sounds fun. We got one here in the little community that, you know, Tyler and I have been, you know, we've played a few times, and so I've got some skills, but if I'm going to go to that park, I'm like, I got to get my chops up. You know, I've been focusing too much on the golf course. I got to give pickleball a little bit of attention.
Yeah, and it's teams. It's 2-on-2, so come correct.
And you know pickleball started up here.
Bainbridge Island or Woodby Island?
Something like that, yeah.
One of those islands? Dude, pickleball is starting to take off. In Austin, they're building the largest pickleball complex in America.
I've never played it, but it's like small, like tennis, right?
It's right in between. Okay, there's tennis and there's ping pong. It's right in between. But yeah, good game. You don't have to move that much.
It's easier than tennis. You know, that's why it's so popular.
A day to learn, a lifetime to master. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, like, we have a couple friends that are into it, and then I was watching, man, was it F1 Drive to Survive? One of them, but, like, the dude, one of the drivers and his dad go, and I'm like, what are they playing? And our buddy Joe, the mayor, was like, dude, that's pickleball. And I was like, oh, all right.
Wait, Joe's watching Formula One, too?
No, I was describing it to him, and he was smart enough to be like, that's pickleball.
Dude, I'm glad you brought up F1, because I feel like I had an epiphany. I think you and I, at some point in our lives, need to go to Monaco together. How do you feel about that?
I agree. But we also talked about this. I looked up the tickets. The base package is like 4 or 5 G's.
Ted Smith, I repeat, at some point, you and I need to go to Monaco together. But we can't roll in. We can't roll in on a budget. This is when we were talking about slapping hundreds in people's hands. That's our move. We'll wait till the time is right, but I think Monaco, I feel like you're the right person to go to Monaco with. Cigars, cocktails, it's going to be great.
Champagne. Yeah, Monaco's this weekend, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Dude, and, dude, it's not just me and you. George and Nick are big F1 guys now, too.
Oh, nice. Hey.
Yeah.
Dude, well, they should come.
I was like, trust me, dude. Everybody's in on it now. Like, Formula One, like the best thing for their American audience was probably the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. That and the show. They said because of the show, the last race was the most Americans who have ever watched, 880,000. And they added that race in Miami. I think we were talking about that on the last podcast or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right. Because it was like the first like season or like especially the first season, like nobody wanted to be on board except Red Bull. Like Mercedes, there was like, no cameras here. But now, once it got popular, I mean, shoot, that's how I got into the Indian Premier League in cricket was I watched, what was it?
But it was good.
Yeah, there was a whole series on the Mumbai Indians. So, yeah.
That was a great show. I watched that whole thing, too. And it's tough to suck me into a Netflix show, but they got me.
You're the only person I know that would say that. I'm like, man, I've watched so many Netflix shows.
Well, I'm just not a big TV guy. Dude, you got to bring it.
I finished. I'm all caught up on Letterkenny. I made it all the way through the last episode that they have out right now, which is all crazy right. for me. That's 9 seasons. I don't know that I've ever made it 9 seasons through a show that I didn't watch like from the start or very early on and get into as like something that I was watching, you know, over the years. Might be my biggest.
Obviously, I think it's a Canadian thing because I was the same way with the Trailer Park Boys. Like, I don't think I ever watched them when they were actually like doing them. But then, like, somebody sent me some DVDs, and then, and they used to replay them because it's Showcase, right? Like Canadian HBO. Somehow I had that channel, and I was like, oh man, this stuff is crazy.
Yeah, that show's so good too.
It is. It is. What else am I going to talk about? Yeah, you guys probably don't care. I'm like, yeah, Zoom's slowing down. Like, it was always fun to do. And, like, I like it, like, during the week, I can, like, pop on and say hi to somebody. But I'm just like the Friday night Zooms, I'm like, man, I think it's been 2 weeks since I've done one. I'm like, I'm going to miss again this week. I'm going to be down at Sal's. I'm just like, I don't know. It'll still be fun around the holidays and stuff. But it's not the same as it was.
Yeah. People are starting to get back out there. You know, it's not as pivotal in their lives.
Right. You can go out and do stuff.
Yeah. The world's interactive again, which is nice. Not just something you look at out of your window. any learnings during the pandemic, boys? I mean, we all had a lot of time to sit there and like look deeply within. I don't know. Just curious. Any takeaways?
Yeah.
That means yes and not, but not one you want to share. All right. I hear that.
No, it doesn't mean that. I'm just saying like yes and no, I guess. I don't know. There wasn't some big epiphany. Now, granted, I still went to work every day. You know, I mean, I think.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a little different. Well, a lot different. Mine was different than a lot of people's. But no, I mean, I don't know if there was some like grand thing that like came upon me like, oh, this or that. Like, I don't know. I've always valued time with like friends and family. So. Wasn't shocking. And then like most people, I was like, oh, I'm going to start reading this and reading that. But that never happened.
Yeah, I was going to get in great shape. Abs of steel, baby.
Matt?
I would say the biggest thing is I've been very like pleased with my ability. And really, I guess this started back like leading into the 2016 election, where the main takeaway would be the importance and the value of just staying neutral. And a word that I've used a lot that I find very neutral is like, that is wild. And from the 2016 election leading into 2020, I thought I had said that a lot. But since the pandemic started to now, I have heard so much crazy, and it moves so fast. But I feel like I don't get too wrapped up one way or another in all the stuff that's constantly going on. But people will still feel heard when I'm like, holy shit, that's crazy. Right. And it's not this like awkward thing, but it's, yeah, like talking about how wild stuff is instead of like good or bad has helped me be able to connect with a lot of people with different viewpoints on, things in this really crazy year and a half or whatever it's been.
Dude, that's good. Good call. That's actually a great takeaway.
Thank you.
Cause it is like so easy to get wrapped up in, you know, the emotion of something, but realistically, most of that stuff doesn't affect you personally.
Yeah.
And even if it does, it's still your emotions about it that, you know, do most of the damage.
Yeah. Is it though? I mean, at some point, sure. There was some serious, serious stuff that went on last year. Like, I don't think it's an emotional response. It's also just like a, like some things were really fucked.
Like, well, let me ask you this.
Right.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Finish. Well, so of things that happened last year, what affected your personal health?
Well, my neighborhood getting gassed for 2 weeks.
But like that didn't affect your personal health. You're still just as healthy as you were 2 years ago, minus like all the weight loss stuff.
Oh, I mean, okay.
I mean,
I'm saying like you, when you're, I mean, you were up here, like that was not good.
Sure. Yeah. It was not good, but that's what Matt's saying is like, so that's looking at it through, obviously everything's viewed through a value filter, right? So it's neither good nor bad, depending on how you want to look at it. Some people could say it was good because it's nice that, you know, the African-American community was heard, et cetera, et cetera. Some people could say it was not good because, you know, police were victimizing people, whatever. And so like what he's saying is like, it was like taking a neutral stance of it was wild rather than taking a value-based stance of labeling something good or bad, which neither of which it provably was. Like similar to like, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, the observer, et cetera.
Right. I just worry sometimes we get in this point now where it's easy for like people like us to sit here and go, oh, I'm just going to sit in the middle. But some things are pretty serious things. And there's people that say wild stuff. And I don't mean that like the way Matt's saying it. Like sometimes like you should check somebody and be like, that's not true. Like there's nothing to back that up at all. Like you're just spreading a lie that's going to get people hurt. Like that to
what was a lie? I don't understand.
Well, one example would have been last year, and I don't want to get too much into politics. You know me on this podcast, but like,
oh, I think you're talking about Black Lives. Or I got you. I think you're talking about the protests still.
Not, I'm just saying like the wildfire stuff, and everybody was all fired up here. Like they're being set by Antifa and this and that. Like, no, that's not true. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you go on it, and I'm obviously a little gun shy because we're sitting here on a podcast, but certain people with massive audience were saying that stuff on a podcast, and it's firing up people to like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And it's like for me, I just can't sit there and go, ah, oh, that's crazy. Like, no, that's you're affecting people's lives. So I think that's what I'm just saying. Like sometimes like, and Matt, trust me, I'm not coming down on you. I get what you're saying. And I try to stay neutral, but at some point too, like, with some people, you got to be like, ah, that's just a lie. Like, if it makes you feel better to believe it, okay. Here's the biggest takeaway I would have from the pandemic is that social media as a tool is just, I don't know that it's helping anybody or it's good. Like, I like the fact you can get live news out. Obviously, I like it for sports, but there, like, I was just shocked at what happened in the last year and what people would put out on social media.
Yeah, it seems like people go on there looking for a fight, at least with Twitter. It seems less from what I see, I guess a lot of what people post or comment is like a reflection of their inner world. And it seems like, yeah, people go on there to vent frustration and stuff rather than the opposite. Although again, like, you know, there's a lot of users, millions of users on Twitter. So different experiences, but is that kind of what you're talking about? Is that people go on and just go off on something?
Yeah, or people just post stuff and then just, you know, like Matt was one of the first few people I've ever heard say this. And this was years ago joking around, but he was like, I hate it when people put just saying. I'm like, not taking a side, but I'm just pointing out this and that. And it's like, right, but you cherry pick that. I mean, Kyle, I learned this term from you. What's it? Confirmation bias. Like, well, listen, with YouTube, I can hop on there and find confirmation, not real, but somebody will confirm some crazy theory I have.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what's crazy about the internet is it's really difficult to get to objective truth because there are things that are not objective. It's subjective. Like, let's say the Mariners beat the Yankees. It's like, well, for Mariners fans, that's good. For Yankees fans, that's bad. So that's like, you know, a little more subjective. But there's like objective truth, right? Like the Mariners won the game over the Yankees. That's a bad example, I guess. But with the internet, it is really hard to separate like what's real, what's someone's opinion, and what's something that really, you know, could be taken either way and both are true, like that dress is pretty or that dress is ugly. But it is tough to get down to even have a conversation when the people can't agree on the facts. And I feel like that was, I guess I would say, a skill or at least an attribute of the Trump presidency, was that the spin machine on both sides was so powerful that it was difficult to even agree on the premises that you were going to debate about, because both sides had so much information that they felt backed up their point. And it was tough to determine what was actually real on both sides, was my thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
That's wild.
Agree, disagree. So you disagree?
I have said my piece. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a sec.
All right.
All right. Welcome back. Everybody's chilled out now. Cobb, I forgot to ask you, how many emails do we got in there?
Oh, Jesus. This dude, you know, I feel like I come on this podcast and I try to do a good job, and then I go and mess up not only not getting my research, but I also have not literally even opened my email inbox yet. So as I click through to do that.
What were you doing this week?
Ted,
not
you know,
pulling tape or checking email.
It's wild out here, man. It's wild out here.
I will say, I don't know how Austin is, but I saw the scenes from Nashville this weekend and it was like, holy cow.
Yeah, it was live in town. I mean, I also live on the busiest party street and probably in Texas, possibly in the country, maybe not in the country. It's crazy though. It's top 10 for sure. Okay.
Before we start reading an email, what is the emotional swing like from like people out like on your street Saturday night? Like I imagine it's just gotta be loud. And then Sunday morning, it's like, you could hear a pin drop.
Dude, that's the thing. That's what I would have thought. Sunday is one of the wildest days on Rainy Street. All the locals go out on Sunday and, it feels like a Friday, honestly. And they don't just go out during the afternoon. They go out and they stay out. And so I think it's a lot of industry folks and stuff, but yeah, I'll try to, now nah, I'm going to forget, but I should just send you a video on a Friday or on a Sunday night. Like it is chaos. I would say Thursday is probably one of the slower nights, but like Friday, crazy. Saturday, you just can't get in anywhere. There's 200 person lines. And then Sunday looks like a Friday. I mean, it's honestly insane.
Yeah. It's like when I lived in Belltown, man, like I was always amazed, like Saturday night, especially in the summertime with your windows open, you could hear people out there till 3-4 in the morning. Okay. And I remember a Sunday morning, sometimes I'd get up and go down to the market and just like stroll into the original Starbucks and get a coffee. There's no line. It would be quiet. And I was like, everybody's working off that hangover. And then by like 10:30, 11, you get the brunch crowd back out. People are getting fired up again.
That's more like Randy. Yeah. Early morning, there's nobody any day of the week. But then like, yeah, like Sundays by about like 3, they're back at it. So as far as emails, we got 3.
All right, nice.
One was rescued from the spam folder. Oh boy. Okay. The Cobb topic, the Devil's YouTube channel, that would make me click on it. So that was the Cobb topic, was like, if the Devil had a YouTube channel, what would his clickbait title be to get you to click? This guy's title would be, "I'm your daddy. Here's how." You guys are motivational ish. Lil J Willie.
I'm your daddy. Here's how. All right. That's fair.
Hey boys, big ups to the biggest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Greatest.
I'll take biggest.
He said biggest. I don't know. It's always weird. I can't see you guys. Okay. Gotta say, I really loved Cobb playing devil's advocate in The Home episode number 46. I hope he gets to the bottom of the Ted Smith flip flop flim flam in the next episode. Also, you guys should do something. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. See, this goes back to our last segment. Like Cobb says stuff confidently. Doesn't mean he's right.
It's in the tapes, man. It's in Ted Smith's emails. Trust me. 5G. you guys should do something special for The Home episode number 50. Maybe do an open Zoom chat for everyone and try to recreate a party atmosphere. I don't know. Just spitballing. Anyhow, keep up the great work, fellas. Cheers. Mikey Dubs.
Mikey, I like the idea. It's just a pain in the butt to set up and everything. And yeah, no. Plus, honestly, at this rate, like, we'll be able to see everybody in person by the fall.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, somebody did the research.
Oh.
I don't know if I'll be able to play this where my microphone can hear it. I don't even know what this is, but I'll download it. Okay, so he said, Isaac emailed us and said, I think I found the point of argument from the podcast, the home episode number 46. Ted talks about a 2-week quarantine. Later on, you all talk about it probably being serious, though. Wild past 14 months we've had. The hype about the XFL was real. And just like that, it was all gone. I don't know how long this clip is. I'll try to just open it up and see if this is something we can do or not.
The hype on the XFL was real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? That's funny he brings that up. I almost completely forgot about that.
I still got my orange towel from the first Dragons game.
Nice. You know what? I still have that somewhere. It's probably sitting up with my scarves.
More of a collector's item now.
I just listened to the thing. I think I can play it if you guys want. I just need to I need to change out my my headphones and stuff. You guys want to try to play it?
Sure.
Okay, can you talk again real quick?
Yep.
Okay, so this should play through my speakers. Hopefully it doesn't get some crazy feedback loop. Tell me if you boys can hear this.
I walked home and then I started freaking myself out. So I was like, man, what if they put the whole city on quarantine? I don't have enough food for 2 weeks. I think I was talking to you guys about this. Yeah. I got to go get rice, beans, and
same. I'm about to still have had a new rice maker show up today, actually.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Inconclusive.
Right. I was like, I don't know if that settles anything.
No, it doesn't. I just wasn't sure if you guys could hear it or not.
I just got a new rice cooker.
Right. That's crazy.
That is wild. Like, hearing back, like, thank you, Isaac, just to even hear that little segment. You know, of like us at that time in history, knowing that that's out there, it's so wild. But yeah, that was cool
to be young again, boys.
Inconclusive.
Inconclusive. Is that it? Just three of them?
Yeah, sorry, that's it, boys.
All right, sorry, I was looking at you for that one. All right, take another break. We'll come back and check in with what was maddening. All right, welcome back. Let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Okay, well, as we talked about, I'm back in Palm Springs. It's been a great week. Coming back down here is always a lot of fun. I've been very focused on revamping Nutrition Made Fun, and I'm going to make the discount code for this round Back to Basics, but it's going to be the number 2. Course.nutritionmadefun.com for that. Basically, when I say like I've worked really hard to upgrade it, I went back, I've added at least 20 GIFs into the lessons so far, and created a couple graphics on Canva while I was really high, but it looks fucking awesome and I'm really excited.
Nice. Good work.
Yeah. Thank you. So that's been, I try and be productive when I come down here. Right. Cause it's not like, oh, I'm on vacation. It's like, no, I work on my fucking laptop. So I want to get stuff done. So I have done that. I had missed 0 clients during my travels. So proud of all that. Now we can get to the fun stuff. I sent you guys both that picture, right? Of the dog? The dog with the gold chain?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like a corgi and like a golden retriever almost mix, right? He's got the little corgi legs.
Yeah, oh, with like the Westie in the background?
Yeah. But that guy in the front, the golden one with the chain, yeah. So that's my brother's dog.
Nice.
We were all over here and you know, we were it was later on in the night. There was some substances, you know.
I assume that with every story you tell.
They smoke weed. I'm not saying their names. Obviously, I was high, but like other people were drinking and I was high and other people smoked too, but who cares? But so everybody's a little bit faded at this point. It's later in the night and I go in the other room and I come in and everybody is just dying laughing, like on the couches, like cannot control themselves or speak. And I'm like, I just took a piss. I'm like, what is going on, guys? And my brother's like, look at the dog. And I could barely understand him through his hysterical laughter. And I look over, and this dog has, well, you know how sometimes dogs get lipsticks?
Yeah.
Like, this was a full-on, like, fifth corgi leg that was just hanging out, like, almost touching the ground. And I was...
Oh, like a red rocket. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, except the biggest one I've ever seen on a dog, period. And that is a small dog. And then I joined the laughter, of course, because it was hilarious. But it was like, what? And then I could tell that this dog was feeling ostracized, right? Because, like, they can sense what's going on. These people aren't being subtle about it. And so then I'm like, I got to comfort this. I'm like, hey, dude, it's okay, man. And I just start petting this dog with a gigantic hard-on hanging out, almost touching the ground. And I'm not going to lie, boys, I've been a little freaked out about it ever since. It felt like the right thing, the right compassionate thing to do in the moment. Everybody was laughing at this guy. He had a gigantic thing hanging out and looked a little bit like frazzled. So I tried to be reassuring and give him some pets while that was going on. There was some debate going on about if that was the appropriate move. So I wanted to get your take.
I mean, I wouldn't feel too embarrassed for the dog. He's the one that got fired up in the middle of a living room in front of people.
That's a good point. You know, I mean, he was at attention the entire time. He was not like that. I could not pull that off if I was super embarrassed, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I don't really know how to read this one. I'm more of a cat guy. I would say, you know, I don't have a lot to add. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's a good point, Ted. So I just wanted to run that by you guys. It was definitely the biggest dog dong I've ever seen in my life. Like,
but that's not helping your side of the story. We keep talking about how big it is. Then you're like, yes, I went over and petted him. I'm like, all right.
God damn it. So
look, in my neighborhood, Cabo attests this. Like, once in a while, there's unexpected penis. People just hanging out on the street, taking a pee or whatever. I never think, I'll go over and pet his back.
Oh man. Well, so that happened. Yeah, fair point, Ted. You know, I wasn't really that's a good point. So yeah, that was a big thing where I just, it was the biggest thing I've ever seen like that. I wanted to get your take on that. And then this other one, I thought that was like going to go over differently. And then I had this other story that I wanted to tell too. And I don't know if I want to follow it up with this one.
Oh, come on. Give it to us, man.
Okay. So downtown Palm Springs, we went there on Sunday. It's a very gay friendly neighborhood. And we're walking down the heart of it, right? Cobb, you and I have been to that same street. And sure. One of the places had a sign that said private event. It was full on no COVID in there. Just a bunch of hot shirtless dudes having the time of their lives. And I was so happy to just see it. You know, it was like, good for you guys. I'm getting a lot out of this. So I'm feeling great. And then I walk, I'm crossing the crosswalk and there's this guy coming the other way. And he's got like a little crop top that says Butch on it in Barbie print.
And all right.
Short shorts. And he's walking a Chihuahua. And we had just found a 420 lounge you could smoke inside at. Pretty dope. And so I was very high again. And I see this dude, and he sees me, and I start to grin. But then I'm like, oh, I already started to grin. Like, you got to let this guy know that seeing him just made your day. And so I just smiled like, yeah, because I was so happy in that moment to just feel like we're back, you know?
And yeah, right? Totally.
So I just had this beaming smile and he's like, oh my God, I love your smile. It's so nice to have these masks off. Just made my goddamn week.
Yeah, that story's a lot better than the dog story.
I'm gonna let it die.
I mean, that's a pretty normal run-in. You see a dude in a crazy outfit, you gave him a smile.
Yeah, it was a good interaction.
Maybe that's what you should have done with the dog. Just a smile, I think, would have gotten you there.
Smile from a safe social distance.
Yeah, no physical contact.
All right. So no more stories.
We're good, guys.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Calm topic.
Calm topic.
Matt, sometimes what I love, like one of my favorite things about being friends with people is you think about how you experience the world and you think about like when you leave your friend, how they're just like out there ping ponging off of people just like anybody else. Yeah. And like, you're one of my favorite cases that were like, God, man, I wonder just like what is happening to Matt out there just ping ponging around through a bunch of other people, you know? It's like, I don't know. It's fun to think about. You're like a good little X factor in the world.
Oh,
and I definitely appreciate that about you.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Let's see. All right. So, this one really, it's just, the genesis is nothing exciting. I went to a bar and there's three urinals. I go in and, you know, I go to the last one on the left and then a guy comes in and he goes in the middle one. And it just, I was like, you know, like, I don't mind. There's little dividers. It's whatever. But it's just like, I just thought that was understood that you go to the right one, you know, and that we leave a empty urinal between us. And if a third guy shows up, fine, he uses that one. But I guess I thought it was an unwritten rule that everybody knew. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But so my thinking for the cop topic this week is just like, what's your favorite like unwritten rule of the bro code? So this is for the guys out there. Feel free to email us. Literally the word email at thepodcast.com, 2 E's. What's your favorite unwritten rule of the bro code? And also, was I wrong in thinking that, guys?
No, I mean, if there's three, you should obviously leave the middle one open.
Okay, thank you. I thought that was a given. And I was so shocked that this guy went in the middle that I didn't even confront him. I wouldn't have anyway, but it was bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also funny too. Is like, I mean, look, that's just I thought everybody knew that. Like, there's memes about it, but it's also weird. Is at sporting events, it's like, oh, there's a trough, and everybody just pees in the same trough. But if there's room, then it's like, yeah, that is generally like, I don't know, like, yeah, it seems
common
like
he bumped over.
Yeah,
and like they were pretty tight in there. You know, like this was not a large bathroom.
I'm trying to think. That's a good example. You know, here's one that I think is a great unwritten rule. It's like, if you go out for like drinks or whatever, and like everybody's buying a round here or there, like you got to pay for a round.
Yeah, seriously.
I definitely had, say acquaintances. I wouldn't call them friends before that have been like they just don't chip in. And it's like, dude, we're not just buying you drinks. I mean, I don't mind buying you a drink here or there, but part of the fun is like, eventually you're going to get around too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. My biggest issue with that, I try to buy the first round because I feel like I always forget because I drink super slow. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm with you. It is annoying when people are like that.
Yeah, but I've never been with you where you haven't offered or bought a round and you're not even a big drinker. You know what I mean? And you understand it.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's just like common. Matt, what do you got?
Unwritten rule of bro, man. That's a good one. I'm just thinking about, I don't know the protocol. I mean, it doesn't really affect me a bunch these days, but like when I see a dude with a, you know, even if he's not holding her hair at the moment, but like just dealing with the out of control drunk chick. Sometimes I've made eye contact with that dude. If like, you know, I don't know how you contribute to that situation when you see it unfolding, but I mean, it's not like I put the fist up, but I just kind of like gave a nod of like, yeah, man.
Thanks for taking one for the team, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, taking care of her. Yeah. Cause like his night is over at that point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I've seen it. You know, I've seen it go the other way too. I didn't mean to make it like God knows. I mean, yeah, I've definitely seen out of control dudes, but like, there's been some of those moments where I'm like, I can't really help here, but like, thank you for doing your part. And yeah, I haven't had too many situations where I've been that guy. Thank God. But yeah, that's the one that always like got me that I was thinking of.
Yeah. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'd say on a lighter note too, is athletic competitions with each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like this weekend, down at Sal's, we're playing a bunch of lawn games. That's one thing. But like, kind of like I play in pub league, right? But I have multiple friends that played like college and stuff. And it's always like, and that's not just bro code, but it would be out of line if I brought them and just like brought a ringer. Or if it was like,
right.
I mean, like Kyle, one of the first times we hung out, I was like, I'll race you in this pool. And you're like, you know, I swam in college. It's like, I did not, but I'm confident, like, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? There's like a fair, like, right. Kind of just like, you got to know each other's athletic ability.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. I feel like the other one for me, well, actually, I'm going to pass on that one.
Oh, you sound like me earlier.
Yeah.
But why? All right. We'll be back next week with another episode. We'll be on for a couple. Actually, yeah. We'll be on for a couple weeks. And then I'm actually doing some traveling in the first week of June to go see some friends back east and go to a wedding, which Smith wedding is never fun. Those people are the worst. Yeah. But there's like, yeah, like I always say, that's all you need. 13 more versions of me running around. Like, who would have this? Yes. So, there you go, another The Home episodes. Yeah, we'll be back next week. For MCTP, for Cobb, me, Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.